For this was on St. Valentine's Day, when every fowl comes there his mate to take, of every species that men know, I say. And then so huge a crowd did they make, that earth and sea and tree and every lake was so full that there was a scarcely space. For me to stand so full was all the place. And again, as Elaine in his Complete of Nature describes her array as paints her face, in such array might men find her there. So this noble empress, full of grace, bade every fowl to take his proper place, as they were wont do from year to year on Saint Valentine's Day, standing there.
One deep breath. Annie saw her standing there with green eyes and long blonde hair. She wasn't wearing underwear. Oh my God. I'm going to hell. I'm
I'll
kind of
see you
cool with
there.
it.
Happy
Happy V-Day.
V-Day.
But when you're listening to this, it's gonna be past V-Day,
It
but
will,
like,
it will, it will.
yeah, like who cares?
Naturally.
Yeah. But we're still doing a Valentine's Day episode just to like tell you like where all this crap came from. But first, hokey pokey pokey.
Yes, and the poem I just read is from an
Oh.
English poet, Geoffrey Chaucer, and he wrote The Parliament of Fowls, and it's like we're a bunch of that was the very end of the poem because it's forever, and that would have been like it's just the most boring intro of all time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like imagine just reading a poem for like
Unsubscribe.
20 minutes.
I'm sure people do that.
God, yeah. But so he wrote a Valentine. Oh yeah, I was about to say he wrote a Valentine's Day poem. No, this is we'll talk about it. It's like in the history of it all. But after he wrote that little poem there, like all the people were so inspired. To also write love letters and
On Valentine,
poetry.
so
Yeah.
that's why like
Yeah. It's.
poems and love letters are common, like Valentine's essentially.
Yeah. And we'll get much more into it, but that's just one of the things. This is in 1375. Think about
Good year.
it was a great year
Great
for
year.
love. Imagine like sending a letter. Imagine sending
Plague.
a letter like to a loved one, it's like some of these like love poetries. It's like someone hits you up on Tinder, like slides into your DMs, but it's like imagine the time you have to wait just to find out like you're
Yeah, no, oh my God, like
ghosted.
years. You probably are like, well, I wrote this woman 6 months
Yeah,
ago.
you just keep doing it. You're like maybe you have the wrong address. No one wrote. You're just throwing it to a pigeon somewhere.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's not a great.
Damn, you had to find your own affirmation.
Yeah. Hocus pocus focus. Do you want to go first or?
Without
Oh
fortune.
yeah, we're gonna we got we ordered we ordered Tasty Asia tonight.
And we are from here on out until Michelle finishes Crescent City. Hocus pocus focus. I want to focus in on
Oh my
ACOTAR
God,
and the Sarah J.
incredible.
Mossaverse. So that's gonna be our hocus pocus focus for the next forever. Okay, I go first.
Mine is perfect for V-Day. Seriously.
Well, see, I haven't even opened mine yet.
Well.
Your group of friends is about to expand. Oh
Ew,
my
bummer for
God.
you.
Yeah, I don't have a lot
That
to give. I really don't have a lot to give anymore. Like, if
was.
you're here, it's you're special.
Yeah.
You're special.
I was talking to my dad about that today, like some of your older friends, like from high school, or we were basically both saying like we have more friends, like just a, like a few that you talk to like from high school, but none from college, and then like the people in your adult life, like you form like really close friendships, like at work or whatever, but then like
Yeah.
when it's over, you're like,
Totally.
I'm never gonna see you or talk to
Yeah, you were not at work.
you
Yeah,
again. I ain't getting paid. No, I'm kidding.
no, straight up,
But yeah, like
but
when you're, the older you get, it's kind of like, are you trying to like expand your friend group? But
yeah.
apparently, fortune cookies are always right,
Just let it be like more Instagram followers, that's fine.
Yeah, friends,
People can look
internet, friends on the
in.
internet.
Yeah, they can like look
That
in.
is
That's
today,
like
though.
totally chill. That is today. Yeah, is like friends on the internet. So this is the fortune cookie in the future.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
Go.
Oh. That's it? That's your...
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to talk about ACOTAR. I mean, yeah. I'm on Crescent okay. City right now, yeah, dude. Like,
I'm on the first book. I just had to reread, like, I think 7 chapters. And I didn't... When I say read, I mean replay. But, yeah. Like, I really did have to, like, restart it because I fell asleep listening to it and I thought I... you know, gathered the information, but anyway.
I can't wait to hear what she thinks about it. But the third Crescent City, if you haven't started it, what the fuck are you doing with your life? And if you're only on chapter 10, get caught up with the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Fucking get it together immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to tell you. Go ahead, read your fucking fortune.
Brie Leonard, everybody. My fortune, my hocus pocus focus is love is like a sweet nectarine, good till the last drop.
It's kind of pervy.
It's kind of a statement, not a fortune, but...
Yeah, that is not... Like, how is that a fortune? Like, how is that telling you?
Good to the last drop.
Damn, you about to get dicked down next time you see Blue.
That means getting dicked down.
Which, that's a great omen.
That's
a great fortune. Wait, what were your lucky numbers? What are your lucky numbers?
35, 10, 32, 47, 16, 25.
50. 31. 54.
It's just our minds.
53, 20, and 15. That's how you read lucky numbers.
Well, queasy is eggplant, apparently.
Nunai is milk. Nunai is milk. Gross. Okay. I will never use that.
Eggplant and milk.
That's
Those
disgusting.
Are both, like, sexual
actually,
emojis.
Yeah. Which oh, my perfect. God. And my group of friends, are they all going to literally
okay.
fuck me?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that we're talking about Lupercalia, which is a bloody, violent, and sexually charged celebration. And we're getting these sexual emojis on our fortune cookies.
Well, that's what's up.
If that's not a
anyway,
sign.
Talk about sexual attraction. Let's go, ACOTAR. Where are you at? Okay. How are you feeling?
Where am I at? We just listened to Where I'm At.
Okay, so...
So she has just...
Feyre
has just met for the first time the scary, scary lady that they've all been scared of.
No, she hasn't met Amarantha yet. She's met Rassand. No.
What?
She's never seen Amarantha yet. No.
But that's who sent them.
Yeah, like Amarantha is in her fucking kingdom in the mountain and she's having Rassand do her dirty bidding. Oh, okay. And Rassand goes to the Spring Court to visit Tamlin and then he gets into Feyre's mind. And then Tamlin is like, I can't handle you, Feyre. Like,
you have
I can't,
to leave.
You have to get the fuck out of here because Amarantha's gonna kill you. And then Feyre's finally like, but I just started liking it here.
Yeah, I just told Brie, like, she stopped being a huge, like, prude loser and is, like, actually having fun now in, like, mm-hmm. this incredible world she's living in with, like, hot fairy dudes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you haven't even got to your type
But now
of
she gets
yet.
Kicked out.
Yeah.
Now so,
she's,
like,
she's going back
think,
to her hellhole.
I
hell
can't
hole.
Imagine she's really getting kicked out.
Yeah, she's going back to her hellhole.
They're all coming there.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about it? Is it starting to build a bit?
I just have, like, a lot of questions, and I'm really impatient.
That's great.
So I have to, like, but... Like,
That's a good sign of a good book. A good sign of learning a new world.
Get through it, because I'm just, like... she was annoying me for so long. I don't know if anyone else felt that way, like, in
no,
the beginning.
No, yeah, Feyre is just... Get it... Like, shut up,
Feyre. And now I'm trying... Now I'm starting to realize, like, there's a lot of, like, qualities about her that are, like, pretty fucking dope. Like, she is, like, really dope for a human, and is, like, kind of, you know, taking care of everyone, murdering a bunch of different, like... otherworldly things, but she was just being like a drag for a while, and now she's like,
and not in a cool way,
not in a cool way. She's just like holding back in every way. That's like, this is the only thing, like, most people, like, most humans would have been so excited to be like torn out of like
poverty,
and you're like living in like the most magical realm.
You're in a fucking castle.
That you can't believe is real.
And you're away from your family that hates you.
And, like, high fae's, like, with, like, you know, like, jacked bods are, like...
Swooning. Yeah, get on my horse and let's go slay a Cyril.
Let's swim in this, like, lake full of stars. And she's like, I don't know. No thanks.
Like, who does... Like, what? Like, bitch!
If you get a sip of it, you'll be happy forever. And she's like... Nothing could ever make me happy. Like, shut up, Feyre.
I know. Like, fuck off. Go paint, bitch.
Go pay a stupid pawn.
Her lack of gratitude, like, her lack of gratitude is, like, so fucking irritating. I can't even handle it. Like, I'm just like, dude, Pharaoh, fucking get it together. Yeah. But, yeah, I do forget. And, like, she does show up pretty hard, like, in the rest of the books, like, with a lot more. Like, she's just got to get over her fucking trauma, like, all of us. And then she starts to pop off. And then you start to actually like more characters. There's more characters, and they're all fucking cool. And then you just don't know who to like. Because you're like, I love everyone. Right. But anyway, I'm excited for you. I'm not going to talk about Crescent City because it came out so freshly. But fucking get on it. My, like, heart is beating really fast right now. You're going to hate Ethan Holmstrom a lot of the time. He's really fucking irritating right now. And, yeah, just get on it.
You're going to hate it, but do it.
Do it. All right, card time.
So open up your heart and your mind, babies, and receive the power of the tarot.
You know the cards don't lie. And I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection. Card time. Choose a card.
So usually it's two figures, one male identifying looking and then one female identifying looking. And they both have two cups in their hands, and it's almost like it's an exchange and like a curiosity and like, hey, what is that? Like, what's there? And then a lot of the times it has like the lion with like wings above it. But it's, for me, Two of Cups is like a creation, like a co-creation of something, like allowing yourself to find inspiration from something or somebody else and inspiring something new and to begin. But that's how I feel about Two of Cups.
And if we think about, you know, the cups being the matter of the heart, so this will have everything to do with, like, the heart space and emotions and how you're in that, you know, part of things. And, I mean, that couldn't be more perfect for, like, what we're talking about. But that exchange, yes, but, like, how is it fluid? It obviously looks so, like, chill here. It looks like a union. And then they're also kind of... above their heads is the lion's head with angel wings, which what shows up in, I mean, in similar ways. I think of like the angel in Temperance.
Or, and the griffin.
Yeah. So it's like, this is...
Well, I guess a griffin has a lion tail, like a lion body and then wings, and then an eagle face.
Yeah. This is like the idea of like strength's symbol with the lion, like being like this like tamed, compassionate, gentle... force, and then the wings representing, you know, air, also bringing the air element into it. So like, how are you navigating, like how are you putting your thoughts into this heart space that is about sharing, is about union, is about like co-creation.
Rips card up, just kidding. Yeah. Two of Cups, baby.
Okay. So it is no coincidences, that across different cultures and religions that there are festivals and holy days, or holidays, as we call them now, that all fall on
similar
dates, right?
That just slapped.
Dude. Yeah. I got this from the internet. in my words, but... whether it be Samhain or Halloween, Yule or Christmas, Lupercalia, and Valentine's Day, the lineage of tradition can be traced back to these, you know, times of the year, which me and Bree do the whole, like, you know, Wheel of the Year episodes. Did we?
Yeah, we already did it.
Cool.
we did that one.
Okay, so... looking at all, you know, the festivities and the celebrations of our ancient ancestors tends to reveal all these cultural twists and turns that we all, you know, we take over the years as time and time and time passes. And this allows us to inspect how the traditions now and to see their kind of, what's that word, like synchronicities?
Yeah.
And the opposite of that.
Dualities.
Yeah. we can look at that. Like what they're, you know, there's so many similarities, and it, most of them stem, you know, from these like old rituals or old, you know, pagan traditions, that were more like, you know, about sun, like not the sun of God, but the sun and like the moon.
The actual sun.
The actual the sun. The first sun. The burning fire ball. you know, doing the twist for you know, Christianity and kind of fitting a more, what am I, a narrative?
Yeah, a narrative. A more Christian narrative.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, this is just, you know, a lot of people do still celebrate and follow the seasons and the Sabbats. Like, we just had a Yule log this year. Like, a lot of people are, and a lot of people celebrate both. And that's mm-hmm. sick, too. Because, like, buying stuff and decorating is fun.
Yeah.
Getting gifts on Valentine's Day is fun.
Yeah, totally. Like, eating chocolate, let's go.
Yeah, an excuse to do anything, you know? Yeah,
totally. Let's go out to dinner? Fuck yeah.
Absolutely. So, Valentine's Day, Lupercalia.
Chupacabra.
Lupercalia. So, this is a Roman, originally, a Roman fertility festival. And according, you know, according to the Roman legend, some king, Amulius or something, ordered Romulus and Remus, and these are the two nephews, and in, like, the lore, in the myth or whatever, these are the founders of Rome.
Hmm.
When they were born, he had it ordered that they be thrown into the river to drown, to, like, get back at their whore mom who broke her vow of celibacy. So they're like, your kids are dead.
Yeah.
You know?
You look like you had, like, a little hand for, like, a second.
I do.
Like, it was, like, a little hand. Like, the one from Scary Movie that the butler
has. I'm just wearing one of those tiny hands on my finger.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So scary.
It was.
Let's take a moment.
To look over and see your hand with a tiny hand.
So, the servant of the dude who, you know, wanted them to die, felt bad for them. He took the basket out of the river, and he carried the basket of the brothers to a wild fig tree somewhere, and then just
are like these left. Brothers babies?
They're babies. They're twin babies.
Is this where the cherub comes from? No, the cherubs would have been
the
around.
Cuban?
Yeah.
So
I should okay, I'll shut up. I'll talk.
Yeah, I should. I mean, I actually should have looked that up more. But in one, in this, as this story goes on, someone, Saint Valentine, wore an amethyst ring with a cupid on it.
Oh, okay.
I had a dream about that. That's where my sources come from. That would be really funny.
My dream.
That like sounded like yeah, like someone just like made that up. Okay, but so instead of, like, them getting murdered, but that, you know, the servant just, like, feels bad, so they just, like, throw them, like, out of the, you know,
yeah,
of the water. They're rescued and cared for by a she-wolf in a den.
There's a she-wolf now.
And that's where they're raised. So that's, like, the story goes. So they're raised in a cave with a she-wolf. Lupa.
Which is I was raised in a cave with a she-wolf. Honestly, if I was a mother, if I could describe the type of experience I would create for my child is
oh my God,
living in a cave okay. with a she-wolf.
Yeah, that sounds more like my Subaru. Like, growing up.
Michelle's like, accurate. Okay.
That would be sick, though.
Being a she-wolf, raising a family in a cave?
Maybe not being the she-wolf, but like if you were raised by one, that by would be sick.
As long as like I get to eat meat from the bone.
Like she's dragging it in for you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sucking the teat of a she-wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, that must be, like, super healthy.
Yeah. Like, you probably get the highest grams of protein you've ever gotten in your whole life.
Like, best skin ever.
Mm-hmm.
These twins, Romulus and Remus. Were later adopted by a shepherd and his wife, and they learned their father's trade. What is the trade? I might remember. So, oh my God. So anyway, the, you know, they go back after they like, they go back to the she-wolf. They name her
Chupacabra.
Lupa is she-wolf, so they name her Lupercal.
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
Lupercabra.
It's thought that she took place in honor to please the Roman fertility of God, or fertility god, Lupercus.
Now I know where the word lubrication comes
now
from.
Now I know where lubrication comes from.
I mean, it all stems from
It's all from connected.
That. Yeah.
So to begin this festival, okay, so on this day, and like think about like, right, you know, the time of the year it is, things are about to like get heated up, people are about to like, you know, sprout off, seeds be popping off. So this is like the perfect time, you know, to think about fertility, to like do, you know, spells and...
And each other.
And each other in preparation for it. So this festival would happen... And this was the order from the priest that they would all gather at the, you know, at the Chupacabra's cave.
They have an orgy.
I mean, not that. It's not Sarah J. Maas.
Okay.
This is like.
She doesn't have orgies. There's only one other fantasy book that does have an orgy. That's from Blood and Ash. And it it's not really an orgy. It's a threesome. I digress.
This may be, tell me what this is like, because I bet it's in, like, the realm of some world that you're reading about.
Okay.
But so, they get in the cave, and two of the priests, the Luperci, sacrifice a goat and a dog. The goat is for fertility, and the dog is for purification.
A dog?
Yeah, slit their throats, dude.
Okay.
And like, you know, they're like, and they're fucking hammered. And everyone in the town outside the cave is just getting hammered drunk while this is happening.
And then like, what, did they bring the sacrifice out?
Yeah, so everyone's like out and about. I mean, they're literally out of their clothes. Everyone is nude. Everyone is getting hammered. And they're getting all horned up for what's about to happen.
It's for like, just fertility. It's just for fertility.
Yeah, and like... You know, this is as far back as, like, you know, this is, like, in relationship to Valentine's Day. But prior, there's other myths of, you know, the founders of Rome, these two twins, that other celebrations, huge part, you know, around the solstices mm-hmm. that were happening that, like, have some relation to them.
Mm.
There's other, you know... Other things that are, like, influence, I guess, the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
While the Luperci is, like, rubbing blood from the dead goat and dog on two of the Lupercalia, you know, two of the, like, bachelors of the town's heads. And while they're doing this, they're supposed to manically laugh, like, really have outburst laugh fits.
Really?
Because they're, like... bringing in the energy of, like, what they want to, like, fuel this season, fuel the night with.
Through laughter.
Manic.
What?
Like, nut jobs. Mm-hmm. So after they're done, like, manically laughing, I like to think of, like, everyone, like, quiet. You know, they're just like, ah!
Yeah.
And it has to, like, die off.
Yeah.
And then they finally stop laughing with blood all over their heads. And then they... grab the skins of, because, you know, while this, they're manically laughing, people are, like, preparing, like, the hides. You know, they called them, like, thongs back then. They're, like,
ew.
Preparing the hides, and then they're, something with milk. I don't know. Google it. I really don't know, but something with milk.
I know milk in Chinese now.
Well, that's true. That's true. So... And side note, it's like the color of red, blood, the white, the milk. So these are like Valentine's Day colors.
Oh, okay.
So they run out of the cave and they just start slapping all these women. You know, everyone's running from the town. Everyone's like all hammered at this point. They're all just like celebrating, having a great time. They're like waiting. This is like what they've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Is to get whipped by this bloody whip skin. Right? And they're like, they love it. Like, they're like, it's kind of like when you're like playing tag or something. This is like what I like, and you're like, or you're running up the stairs from something, you know they're going to hit you, but you're like, ugh! Like, it just, you're excited, it's giddy, afraid, they're all just running around hammered, like super pumped, because if they get whipped, it's like they're getting the gift of becoming more fertile.
Okay.
Like they're like, okay, now I, you know, the goat, the fertility,
right?
You know,
the dog purity.
They're like, I am pure. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And like back then, there were like, you know, the religious stuff. It's like there was, everyone was erotic. Everyone was just like enjoying. Like they're like, oh, this is what we do on the solstice: is we all get naked and we whip each other with bloody skins, and like then they all the women throw their name in like an urn. I imagine at that time, really, you know, in a cauldron, like it's a hat. Honestly, it's just a baseball cauldron. Hat. The magic hat.
Totally.
Let me actually really find magic hat, bunny rabbit, fertility. Comes out of the hat. Is that where that's from?
I don't know.
Who knows? Okay. So all the women put their name in an urn, and then all the dudes choose a name, and then they're like matched up with them for the night, and very, very, very often for the year, to see if the ritual worked, to see if they could get pregnant. If they did not get pregnant, next year's whipping. Like, they're like, let's go now. Like, I guess bummer if you didn't, because then you're just like,
you feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah, just like, and like, yeah, like, oh, you're not fertile enough, bitch. Because it was never like the dude's problem then, you know? It was like, you're a witch, or like, you know, something's wrong with you, you can't get pregnant.
Yep, always, it's always us. Mm-hmm. It's never that, exactly, like, which it was actually really common that, like, men, you know, not being able to, like, they're infertile. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
I was going to say shooting blanks, but I was, like, trying to be, like, semi-decent. But.
Not gonna happen. But so then, like, yeah, so this whole festival is, like, they love it. You know, it's this like very exciting, like sexy time for everyone. And everyone's super pumped because also the blood is like flying all over the town, which is like getting out all the crops and everything's like growing. And that's like good luck for the new year.
Mm.
So that's Lupercalia. So then it's like, what the fuck does that have to do with like today's, you know, Valentine's Day? So they keep carrying on with their festivals. And around the year 269 AD, the Roman Emperor, Claudius II, is like, yo.
You ever heard of the Chupacabra?
You ever heard of him? I'll show you a picture.
I know a guy.
I guess he was like, start sketching him.
Yeah.
This dude is like, we need to build a strong army. But all the dudes are like, you know, everyone's just like getting hammered and boning and like celebrate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have families and it's all really working out.
It's a candle.
And all the men are like, we have families, like we're like getting married, like I got a family to take care of. And Claudius II is like, fuck that, like we need war, like we need to kill. So he's like, no more love, fuck love, no more engagements, no more marriage, it's all banned in Rome. No more of that.
Why?
Because he wants. Because he thinks that that will, if men are not getting engaged and married,
they're not then distracted, what else and then
they have to do.
They just dedicate themselves. They have themselves. To go to war. Yeah.
They have to fight. They have to be there.
Why was he trying to conquer some shit?
For sure.
Okay.
It's Rome.
Okay. I'm just checking. Just double checking. They might have had a day off. Dude.
Yeah, the Roman Emperor. And this dude was like, I guess he was like really, I think they called him like Claudius the Cruel or something, or Cruel Claudius. I don't know. Because he was just like a really bad dude. And he was like, no one's getting married and there cannot be that thing. And then he does something even worse, which is...
kills babies.
I mean, basically, you know, when does it end? Like, he's killing future babies because he's not letting people love each other. Obviously, babies come from love.
Honestly, he's kind of a hero.
We love you, Claudius II.
Bring him back.
Literally, like, marriage is kind of like...
And also, no babies, offense. Like, no, we don't need any more stupid kids.
No one. Gross.
Anyway, keep going.
So, someone disagreed with us. Me, you, and Claudius II.
Rude.
And he was like, that's bullshit. And he was a Christian.
Gross.
Priest. Also,
gross. You know,
and guess what his name was?
Saint Valentine.
Well, it was Valentine. It was a priest Valentine at this point.
Valentine.
Spoiler,
Father Valentine. Jesus. Father Valentine.
Yeah,
Mr. Valentine.
Daddy Valentine. Daddy Valentine. So Priest Valentine is like, fuck Claudius II, Brie and Michelle. We want love. We want engagement. We want marriage. And I will be the priest that goes behind the emperor's back
and
marries y'all with a little certificate of a paper heart. You know, probably like hand, it was probably like a fingerprint of like dirt or blood, maybe, actually. I made that up. But the letter, you know, supposedly the legend go. It's not a legend. But the heart, like, certificate was like a thing.
Okay. That's
but he's like, I know, adorable.
Bring it back.
Bring him back now. So he ends up getting caught, of course, by the emperor. And he's like, you're going to fucking jail. Enough. No more marriage. So he sends it to prison. And so while Valentine's is in prison, first of all, he keeps trying to convert Claudius into Christianity. He's like, if I can just get this dude to like suck God's dick with me,
yeah,
I will get him to suck my dick and I will not die here in this prison.
Yeah.
Like he will suck my dick for showing him,
like, for real?
God's love. I mean, I'm adding lib here. But,
oh, okay.
No, but, like, he really wanted him to join Christianity.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he will see that, you know, we're brothers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm the asshole. Not Valentine, not Claudius. But so, no. Let's see, who is the asshole? Claudius, really. So Claudius is like, you know what? Now you're going to die. Now you're going to fucking die. Now we're beheading you. But before he's beheaded, during this, like, you know, time he's been in prison, Valentine is, like, developing this little friendship with the jailer's daughter who is blind, you know, and she's, like, all over the, like, cell, and he's, like, just praying for her, like,
yeah,
may you see, you know, so it is, you know, I don't know what he's saying, but he's, like, really praying that she can get her vision back. She does. So then, like, they have this, like, huge connection, and before he gets beheaded, he writes her a letter and is, like, blah, 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 love your Valentine. So, is it all, you know, so now your Valentine. So years and years and years, you know, are going by. Also, like.
Like hundreds of years, yeah.
Hundreds. And Claudius II did, like, he got the, like, plague or something. Like, he got his, like, karma. Like, year, like. Not too long after he, like, died. Oh,
good for him.
So he's dead. And then, you know, Valentine does get beheaded. Not so romantic, but.
Good for him.
But he was so fondly, you know, remembered by what he did, you know, in the name of love.
Yeah.
So he was named a saint. Saint Valentine.
I mean, and he made a blind bitch see.
And, I mean, you know, did he?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know any of
it. It is law.
Yeah, it's law. So, February 14th, this is like, you know, when he was named the saint. And think about why they would name a saint on February 14th, the same day that the Lupercalia festival.
Tradition, ritual. Yeah.
Happens. So they're like, how about instead of that, you guys get on board with this, like, St. Valentine deal that's, like, all about love.
And this was when Rome, started to, like, hang out with God.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, look, I know you want to keep your pagan shit, but, like...
But let's make it...
Can we make it Christian?
Can you guys please put your clothes on and not sacrifice animals and not spill blood all
over? Lupacabra, but make it Christian.
Yeah, and not fuck each other all over the place while you bleed on each other. But so,
Lupacabra.
And so over time, people were actually down with it, right?
Yeah. Down with the sickness.
They were definitely getting down with the idea of the Christian belief of this holy holiday. The Pomerid and the Didigane was like around the 14th century, I guess a little bit before. But that became associated with the Romans, the Pome. It was written around the group of birds that would gather and choose their mate for the year. So just like the festival, they would gather, choose their mate for the year. People were really inspired. That's when all the writing happened.
I just think of like Mortal Kombat or something, like choose your fighter.
For the year. 18th century. Valentine's was like, you know, seen as occasion, and like cards and such, like gifts and shit, were like kind of slowly getting introduced. 19th century, cards were like being produced in like, I don't know, factories if there were. And then 1840s comes along, postage stamp is a thing. So this is making it possible for people to send Valentine's Day cards and also send like cards in secret, which was like so fun.
Yeah, like also, I always wanted a secret Valentine on Valentine's Day. I never got one.
How mean was that when they like made us put like lunch bags? Do you remember that?
And like you get like, I mean, not me, but
like. Could like walk around and not give you one if they didn't want.
Yeah. I think we need to bring that back, really, like, bring this generation down a notch.
Right. And we're like, not everyone likes you.
Yeah.
Like, or, like, get it together. Everyone likes you, dude.
Yeah.
Don't fret.
Yeah. Whoever needs to hear either one of those messages, I think we need to bring this back.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate that shit.
I don't.
I don't. I hate it. I would get so nervous. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Get it together, Michelle. Grow up.
Just kidding. Like, is Dylan Pettit going to put his Valentine in my bag? Ew.
That sounds really pervy.
Yeah. I was in like second grade, you guys. So then everyone's sending Valentine's Day cards literally in the mail. 1868, literally, who cares about this stuff? But a British chocolate company made heart-shaped boxes and everyone was like, oh my God.
Shut up.
Like such a treat. Like so extra.
Yeah.
So capitalism. Like, it's just, like, so, like, let's sell this fucking thing. So, that's why Valentine's Day is a thing.
And that's why you get chocolate and why there's hearts.
Hearts, and red, why you blood, white,
get
milk.
Dick down.
Yeah.
V hard. Yeah. That was so interesting. I never knew, like, where it came from. I was just like, oh, say Valentine. I knew it was that.
Yeah, the festival sounds like...
I'm in.
I mean, a ball. In comparison, just, what? Like...
Yeah, dude, shit's wild. Yeah, if you're hearing this, come to our workshop in Denver on February 26th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yep, it's on a Monday.
It's on a Monday.
It's at ESP.
ESP in Denver.
Beautiful space. And then we're also doing a event for Mother Funk at Nurture. And it's just going to be like a women's meetup and we're talking about imposter syndrome. I'll be leading the meeting and Brie will be our guest. Our first guest is Mother Funk and...
Dharma talking.
Yeah.
Watch me soar.
So what is that? Imposter syndrome.
As it's accruing right now.
I'll just cry.
It's so ridiculous. But I'm excited. I'm stoked. Link is in our Instagram bio to sign up for everything. And we love you. And
you're magic.
You are magic.
Take one deep breath. Oh, my God.